Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this very special Aftermath. Today, we're speaking with guest expert, Professor Stam Zervanos. Dr. Zervanos is a professor emeritus of biology at Penn State University. He is the author of over 30 research publications and is currently working on the adaptation and evolution of hibernation in woodchucks. Let's hear what he has to say about Groundhog's Day. Hello, Dr. Zervanos. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, happy for asking me. I enjoy Groundhog Day.
So, actually, could you start off by giving us a little background on your work with groundhogs? When was your interest sparked?
Well, it really started a long time ago when I was a graduate student and I had a research scholarship to work with a professor that was studying groundhogs. But I didn't really pick up on my own personal research until about 15 years ago.
So what is a groundhog? Can you give our listeners a general idea? And could you give us an overview on the animal?
Okay. A groundhog is really a marmot. There are maybe around six species in northern United States. And marmots are part of the rodent group. So that's where they come from. And the marmots are hibernators. And I'm interested in how hibernation works and what is the evolutionary relationship to other mammals. Been looking at that aspect for the last, as I said, 15 years or so.
Are they indigenous to the United States? And if so, what part?
Groundhogs, this particular species of marmot is found from along the eastern United States up into Canada and all the way down into Georgia. So it's a wide spread.
Oh, wow. So a wide terrain. Could you talk to us about the groundhog's hibernation process? How long do they hibernate for? How do they prepare for this process?
They start, I'm talking about my study site in Pennsylvania, because it varies depending on what part of country you're talking about. But they start hibernating in late October, early November. They stay in their burrows hibernating until about this time of year, actually. They terminate hibernation in early March. But when we talk about hibernation, what we're talking about is an animal that is actually going through several cycles of waking up and going back into hibernation maybe as many as 12, 15 times. But one of the times when they do wake up, they come out of their burrow. And for our part of the country, my study site, the average time they come out of their burrow for the first time is February 4th. So they're out, they're getting ready to come out. And that's part of the history of how we got Groundhog Day.
I see. And, you know, I was reading something about how they're hibernating, they're what they burrow. It's actually pretty extensive. They're little homes that they make for themselves.
Yeah, that depending on how old the burrow is, because they use the same burrow year after year.
Oh,
in fact, when they die or pass away, another groundhog will come in and take over because it's already made. It's like a home already made. And so the burrow systems become very complex. There's several openings to get out. They have a chamber for waste, for their bathroom, I would say. Uh-huh. And they have a chamber that they hibernate in. And it's a unique adaptation. I'm just fascinated by how they do it.
What is their, why do they hibernate? What is the point of hibernation? I know these are very basic questions, but I just want to make sure we all understand them.
That's a good question. They hibernate in order to survive the winter. There's no food for them in the winter. So what they do is they spend most of the summer gaining weight, adding a lot of fat, and then they go into hibernation and use that fat to survive the winter. So it's a survival tactic to get through a very harsh period in their life cycle.
So let's talk about Groundhog's Day.
Oh.
how has the groundhog been roped into this tradition?
Well, you really have to go back to Europe, in Northern Europe, before Christianity came. This is during the Roman time, actually. They celebrated what they call Imbolog Day, which celebrated the middle point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. This is the midpoint in the winter period. And it was celebrated. And a tradition came from that if a hedgehog, or maybe another animal, depending on where you were, saw its shadow, that meant that we would have six more weeks of harsh winter. And that was translated into another celebration when Northern Europe became Christianized. And that was a celebration of Candlemas Day, which was the celebration of the purification of the Virgin Mary.
Oh.
And during that time, which was actually February 2nd, candles were blessed and handed out to the parishioners, and they lit them and put them in the window. And the tradition about the hedgehog continued even into the Christian period, in Germany in particular. So on Candlemas Day, if a hedgehog saw its shadow, six more weeks of harsh winter. And when the Germans came to the United States, they settled primarily in southeastern Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania Dutch country, which is Pennsylvania German country, actually. And guess what? On February 2nd, groundhogs are coming out. Looks like a hedgehog, so they carried that tradition to the groundhog. So if a groundhog saw a shadow on February 2nd, again, six more weeks of harsh winter, it didn't become nationalized or a big holiday nationally as it is today until the probably the late 1800s, 1880s, when a newspaper publisher and a congressman from, guess where, Punxsutawney, celebrated, created this character, Punxsutawney Phil, and they celebrated on February 2nd in order to get visitors, tourists to come to Punxsutawney. And it became a big holiday, and it spread through the country from that.
Now, based on your expertise, how would you think a groundhog would react to these circumstances, being watched, you know, cameras everywhere? We've got, you know, government officials waiting for their exit.
Well, groundhogs can be domesticated. I know a few people that have contacted me and told me that they found a small groundhog and raised it, and it's somewhat domesticated. A wild groundhog you couldn't even touch. So Punxsutawney Phil, and I'm sure there's been several of them, is a domesticated groundhog that can be handled. Apparently it lives in library, in a section of the library in Punxsutawney. It is, you know, pays to be fed and domesticated and is easier to handle. And then on, you know, a few days before Groundhog Day, he's taken up to what's the hill called? I forget. Anyway, and it comes out, you know, then he goes back to the library.
So he chooses to hibernate in with his books.
Yeah, I'm not sure he even hibernates, but because it's too warm in the library to do that. it's a big show. I mean, it's people get excited about it, and one of these days I'm going to go up and take a look.
Yeah. What is the lifespan of a groundhog, and what are the common causes of death?
Yeah. Well, you know, in our area, in our study area, we have fox and coyotes, and we have eagles. And predation is probably the major problem for them. Old age, well, if they were allowed to live, I would say it's probably 5 or 6 years. But in the wild, it's probably more closer to 3, maybe 3.5 years. It's a relatively short-lived animal.
Yeah, so we were, and on our show, we were specifically discussing the incident that happened when the mayor of New York City dropped the groundhog during Groundhog Day. And, you know, a week later, it ended up dying. Mm-hmm. If a groundhog were to be dropped, is it possible that they could die from this fall a week later, not just right away?
It's probably possible. I would imagine that it probably had some sort of injury from being dropped. Yeah, I would imagine it's probably a head injury of some kind, maybe a hemorrhage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible, yes.
So is there something that we haven't covered yet that you think we should know about groundhogs?
Well, why are they coming out now?
Oh, yes, please. Why aren't they?
Yeah, well, it's a long, well, I'll shorten the story. They actually come out now to get ready for mating. For them to survive in their environment, they have to mate at a very precise time in order for the young to gain enough weight to survive the following winter. And if they're born too early, there's not enough food for them to even make it through the early stages. So what happens is this time of year, February, first week in February, within a 10-day period. But first of all, let me go back and just say that they're solitary animals. The females live in their own burrows. The males live in their own burrow. And they don't see each other since the last time they mated. So I call this the kiss and make up period. So around February, early February, they come out. The males start to establish their territories and then start going around trying to find out where the females are, because he hasn't seen them for a year. And the females come out at this time of year also. And they don't have cell phones to call each other. They just come out, really. So it's a very precise biological timing, a biological rhythm. So they're out, both out. Females are sitting around or in their burrows and coming out. The males go around trying to find them, basically kiss and make up. he goes up. Yeah. No, they, I have pictures, but not them kissing. He goes out and then goes to another burrow to see what the if the female is still there. So he finds out exactly where each female is, and the females get stimulated to get their reproductive system going so that come the first week in March, now they all go back to hibernate until the beginning of March. He comes out and within a week to 10 days, he mates with all the females that he knows are there. So they need to do this now, this time of year in February, in order to speed up the process of mating. And the young are born first week in April, and they're weaned mid-May when all the food's available. And they still have enough time to gain weight. So it's a process, it's a matter of timing and precision in order to survive in their particular habitat.
That's fascinating. So it turns out they're coming out in February because they got to set those dates. They got to get those dates in the books.
Yep. They got to find out where they are.
So do you think that observing groundhogs every year is the most accurate way to determine whether or not we're going to have more winter? Is there another animal that we should consider for this process?
Actually, it's not. you know, if you look at the history of Groundhog Day and what it predicted, it's not even 50-50. It's something like 30%. Other animals, you know, there are migrating animals that are probably better. I'm thinking about snow geese in our area that come through at a particular time, and they're going up north, so they, I think they're better predictors of the winter. It's, as you know, the weather's hard to predict more than a day. So, yeah, that's probably a better predictor, some of the migrating birds in particular.
Well, okay, we're going to have to consider that. We're going to have to talk to some people about that. Dr. Zervanos, thank you so much for joining us today and, you know, helping us learn more about groundhogs and Groundhog's Day.
Appreciate it. Had fun.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
And fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
Well, I learned a lot about groundhogs and Groundhog's Day.
Mm-hmm. They're marmots. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Now I do.
Now I do. I didn't realize they were rodents. I mean, I knew we talked about it, sort of.
Yeah, we talked about it.
That part didn't click for me.
They also build their own bathrooms, which I always find impressive. We have to do some construction on our bathroom, and I'm incapable of doing that work. So,
you know what I thought was funny was that when, like, if a groundhog dies, another one just, like, comes and take over, which, like, if that was real life for humans, like, if you guys died, I could just come and live in your house. Like,
well, that's what happens.
Who cares about your family? It's mine now. I found it first.
Well, they are solitary animals, as mm-hmm. he said. So it's all single living, you know? So once someone dies, it's not like, I guess.
They have no one to leave it to.
Yeah. I wonder if they have wills.
Kind of makes me remember, like, Rebecca brings this up sometimes, is that, you know how your grandma and grandpa used to sleep in separate beds? Rebecca's been trying to push that for a long time on our relationship. She wants to, and she was actually thinking about two separate rooms mm-hmm. and if even getting an apartment far away.
Yeah.
That's very royalty, like the crown of you, to have your own separate chambers.
Separate chambers. That's right.
Yes.
That's where she got the idea. She was like, oh, that's such a good idea.
From the crown. Yeah.
Yes. Supported by
I guess the groundhogs are living that life.
Yes.
The life of royals. I was struck by how that aspect of the groundhog is very similar to our real estate market. So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, you got to get that big one. You know, mm-hmm. They've been, that's generational mm-hmm. wealth. You know,
well, and it's kind of like you never know what you're going to find in a particular burrow because it's all underground. So how great when you like crawl into a particular burrow and it's really expansive and you're like, oh, a lot of groundhogs have died here. This is a good one.
I mean, so many things to discuss.
Yep.
This is what struck me that I thought, I mean, it always sneaks in, but how he was saying how Punxsutawney Phil, am I saying that right?
Punxsutawney, I
believe. Punxsutawney Phil was started by a congressman and a journalist in Pennsylvania as like basically a tourism stunt, which makes me think like, is capitalism to blame?
Oh man.
Sure.
Always.
It's always there somewhere on the like periphery. If not in the forefront, it's there.
It is unbelievable.
Totally. I also thought, he hearkened back to Northern Europe and Imbolc Day, I believe it was called, and Candlemas Day. Uh-huh. So these are rooted in
Christianity.
Well, the Candlemas is rooted in Christianity, and Imbolc is, I think, a pagan. Okay. But
religion.
But anyway, what was I going to say? Okay, so to me, you could put a lot of things up on the board based on that. You could put the Virgin Mary because she was involved in Candlemas Day. It's sort of celebrating her. You could put the Irish. You could put the Irish Gaelic culture. You could put, but
well,
what
they
I thought
were German,
was,
weren't
what
I, they? The ones who started.
Yeah, I guess Northern Europe. And the hedgehog was the original animal that they were keeping track of, by the way. So you could have put the hedgehog up on the board. However, what I came out with was we should probably blame winter itself because people get so cold, they just want it to be over so soon, and they look for these stories of what we can do to give us a little bit of hope during this cold ass time. So also possibly seasonal depression.
Interesting. Ooh. You know, so like you're saying, if Earth was one giant tropical island, if that was the climate over all of Earth, we wouldn't have these winter concerns, winter worries, we'll call them
winter worries.
Well,
and then winter
careful
stories.
What you wish for, am I right?
Global it's true. Warming. We're headed that way. it's a different type of worry.
But yeah, so anyway, maybe seasonal depression could have been up on there just as a way of saying, you know, humans are so, they get so bummed out about winter that they're just like, they're looking for anything to give them a little bit of glimmer of hope.
Yeah. Those are great. Yeah, you're right. And I'm seeing here that you wrote down tourism. Because it was started as a reason for them to come to the town, which of course is capitalism, like we were saying. But
right,
it's the tourism industry. You know, sometimes towns are like, we've got the biggest,
dinosaur
sewing
replica.
Machine.
Yeah.
Come mm-hmm. see the biggest sewing machine in the world.
Right.
And you're like, do we need a big sewing machine? We don't. But
Yeah.
You go, you take it. It's an Instagrammable moment. And right. That's important these days.
And you know what? That was like the 1800s version of an Instagrammable moment, because you know they got their face in the papers, you know?
Mm. I guess.
It's all about publicity. We're obsessed with publicity. We're obsessed with status.
If someone's talking about it, we're like, what's it about? Well, I want to hear about it.
We want to be talked about. That's just human nature. Mm-hmm. We want to know that everyone is talking about us right now. And then we get depressed when it's over, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're talking about the next thing. And we got to feed that. You know, once you get a little taste of that publicity, you're like, you got to get back.
Speaking of, I guess, publicity and the spotlight, something that occurred to me was very interesting how Punxsutawney Phil, basically they're domesticated. Didn't realize that the animals that we're seeing are like not just like straight out of the wild animals.
Yeah,
and
right.
That he hibernates, quote unquote, in a library. And I thought this is the perfect setup for like a Pixar or Disney movie.
What
like
are we
Phil
doing?
Phil in his library. Oh, right.
Oh
you
my
know,
God.
He's domesticated. He lives in the library like that. He spends his whole winter there. He's lonely, but he's trying to branch out. Like this could be a good.
He's an
Disney
avid
movie.
Reader. Yeah, he's yeah. an avid reader. But every year he's got to pretend to be a normal groundhog. And, you know,
he's got to show up for his fans and it's hard.
And his cousins are rats. And there's a group of rats who try and show him the way of the street, how to live out on the street, survive.
All he wants is to get out of the library. Okay, we'll start working on that. We'll call Hollywood and see what we can do.
Rebecca, we wrote the same thing at the same time, which is that when he was talking about why the groundhogs come out at all, it was to
planner. They're good planners.
They're good planners. They have to have sex. They have to get pregnant quick.
And yeah.
So that their babies have enough time to feed so that they can have enough fat to survive the winter. So they're planners.
I love ground. I think I'm a groundhog. I think I'm a groundhog. Sure.
You're a planner. Everything's practical.
But like the fact that they're like, it's not just like, okay, it's time for me to, you know, mate. Got to get out there and just mate. No, they go out there first, scope out the local females, and then put it in the books. They're like, okay, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you. And then they go rest. They get
no,
they go back.
No, that's not how I understood
yes,
it.
Yes, they go in and hibernate for a little bit more, oh, and then they come out.
I gotta re-listen. I gotta re-listen because I'm pretty sure that they do the mating in that first week of February.
No.
Otherwise, why would they come out?
To scope out the situation.
To refamiliarize themselves. To be like, hey, like to be friendly again.
Yes. Also, I guess the females have to stimulate the reproductive process. So like they have to get it going. But it's not going to be ready right away. That's what that's how I understood it.
Okay.
Also interesting that they are kind of opposite of us where, you know, they are really fattening up in the summer so that they can get through the winter. And we're like, we're fattening up in the winter so that we can then shed it all for the summer in our peach body.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally.
Yeah, that's what we're all doing.
So winter is their beach body moment.
That's right.
Oh, my God. So many things. Yes. The kissing and makeup period, I think that's what he called it, where it's like, sorry, I haven't talked to you for a year, but it's like that text you get. It's like, yo, you up, you know?
Yeah.
You're like,
is this still your number?
Excuse me? We haven't been single in about two decades.
Right.
So
we don't know how that works. A lot of things that we learned about the groundhog.
Yeah, did it adjust your, did it change your verdict at all?
So remind us, Clayton, what did we end up sending to the alarmist jail, and what did we end up slapping? Because it was a contentious, you know, we had a hard time.
We did have a hard time, but what we ultimately decided on was we gave the big slap to humans getting handsy, if you recall.
Yes.
And we sent to jail two perpetrators, we sent the Staten Island Zoo and Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Guess.
For the big drop.
I mean, when you think about this debacle and then you have a conversation with a like well-informed
professional.
And articulate professional about, you know, what a groundhog is really like out there in the wild, you realize how man-made and freak show-ish this kind of, I guess maybe like just the New York version. We don't know how other people in other towns, like what are they doing Punxsutawney? Like, is it the same thing?
Apparently they do it up on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess just we just have to judge it based on this one weird sort of circus event that happened in New York.
Well, it all evolved, right? So, you know, it came from Europe. It's been evolving to this.
Yeah.
It's to this moment, right?
When I look at our verdict, I just think we're not really getting into the historicity of it.
Well, I feel like it had a practical purpose at some point, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which then when it came here, they continued to do until that one town started to, you know, commercialize it, essentially. It made it an event, right? Whether it's,
right.
I think, you know, you could say it's boredom, you know, the winter boredom. Or you could say that it was a publicity stunt by this town.
Or it could be like misplaced hope or boredom, whatever you want to call it. Because I thought it was interesting when he was like, yeah, I mean, migrating snow geese would probably be a more accurate indicator of whether or not we have more winter. But this is the tradition. So it's like we've stuck to it.
Well, maybe we should have sent to the alarm, or at least slapped, instead of humans getting handsy, which, why are we getting handsy? But perhaps we should have at least mentioned our, like, hard-headedness, our inability to, like, stop traditions even when they don't make sense anymore.
Mm.
Like, it's not even a practical tradition. We're just doing it, like,
robots. Well, I will say, tradition in and of itself, I think, is a really lovely thing.
Sure. Yes.
Right?
Good.
I mean, it's important. It helps with the passage of time. You're able to reflect and look back on previous said tradition. But I agree, it's like the subject. Maybe it's like there are some traditions, like, you know, hanging the Confederate flag off of your home. That's like, okay, that's a tradition that maybe can die out.
Do we need
but
that?
Tradition itself, I think, can be a really positive thing depending on the subject matter. So
But
case
this is
by
one,
case tradition.
Yeah, this is one that I guess we can continue to do, but perhaps it's not the, not only is it not accurate, so I guess we're just doing it for fun, but also don't grab a groundhog while you're doing it.
So humans getting handsy.
I guess, yeah, we stick to it then.
Stick to it. Well,
allow the tradition.
Humans getting handsy was the big slap, though, right? Or was that the
Blasio? That was big slap. Jail is Staten Island Zoo and DeBlasio.
The actual hands went to the
Should
jail.
Should we reverse that? Or
We could reverse that. What do you think?
I mean, I'm not opposed.
You know, humans getting handsy, like when I think of a zoo or I think of a mayor, I think of a lot of other things. You know, and so it just seems like humans getting handsy is sort of a stand-in for more like, yeah, like Clayton was saying, some traditions are good. I think this tradition is fine and innocuous until you start to put your hands on and
take your hands
marmot
off it.
Out of its natural environment for your own kind of like tourism draw or like media draw. So and that sort of humans getting handsy to me is that's a stand in for that kind of behavior, which, you know, happens quite a
it's
bit.
It's true.
And it's very specific to this.
It makes me think
tradition.
Of petting zoos too, you know, another, why are we always getting handsy with animals? Why do we got to touch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's our first instinct. It's babies, right? You like want to touch it and you want to eat it. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I take your point, and I think I'm going to change the verdict.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Humans getting handsy. You're going to the alarmist jail. So, again, who do we need to speak to get these geese, you know, to change the holiday into snow geese day?
If you're
broadening out. We need a journalist and we need a congressman from somewhere.
Okay. Well, just one.
But just to say this, if you're going to switch from a groundhog to a goose, you might as well jump over to Homo sapiens. And like it's called a weatherman or weather woman. Those are the people who are actually going to be able to more accurately predict. I mean, what's wrong with
us? Weatherman has to put on a show then. He needs to give us a little bit of entertainment once a year.
That's good.
To make it more exciting.
It can't just be his regular weather talk.
Because we're trying to get through the winter, right? Yeah. This is like midwinter. Everyone's depressed. We've already heard the latest. It's going to snow again.
Do you know how exciting it could be if we're just like, hey, guys, it looks like the snow geese are coming in. Was that a snow goose?
Mm-hmm.
Is
goose.
That what I hear? Oh, my God. And then like everyone is like, it's almost like a shooting star or when those comets go by Earth and everyone stays up and, you know, it could be fun.
Or Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus. Something about tracking it could be so much more fun than just like waiting for it to come out and seeing, you know, what the groundhog does. Mm-hmm.
What about the rest of us, though, who don't live in winter? Like, this is really for one segment of the population.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. So they care more. And we could be following it in the news. Be like, first snow geese sighting in Pennsylvania on, you know, I don't know. Could be fun. Something to consider. But thank you to Dr. Cervanos for his expertise and for, you know, spending time with us and answering all of our pretty simple questions that perhaps we don't really know. We pretend to know all the time and we actually don't. And before we go, Clayton, how are we doing with reviews? Have we gotten, you know,
anything? Is anybody saying anything out there about us?
Is there anything? We need people to be talking about us. We're always chasing that high.
Uh-oh.
What?
She's addicted.
Did you get the new iPhone?
Seriously, our reviews and our subscriptions and, you know, ratings really, really help us keep the show going. It's all we have.
There is a new review that I haven't fully proofread, so hopefully there's nothing scary in here, but it's from Lanai M, A History Lover's Delight, 5 stars. I'm a lifelong lover of history, got the undergrad degree to boot, and I'm particularly drawn to lesser known stories. This podcast delivers on that front in an entertaining and not at all stuffy way.
Mm.
I enjoy that there's a variety of topics covered, from the serious Chernobyl or the Tulsa Massacre to the not quite so serious Game of Thrones finale and the movie Cats. The guest experts help to explore every facet of the topic to get a more complete picture. Thank you.
Aw, well, that's nice.
That's good. And again, not so stuffy. We know what that's code for.
I like when they find new ways of saying that.
Right. That should be our challenge to our listeners. Find really clever ways to say they're simple, but they're fun.
You know what? The alarmists. They're just like us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
It's
but
like
seriously.
My 6-year-old brother runs up to me and starts telling me about a historical disaster.
No. Oh, but seriously, thank you so much. And tune in next week. We are going to be discussing the beheading of Saint Valentine.
Earios. Powered by ACAST.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.